Surah Taha, ayah number 77 onwards. And we had inspired to Moses, travel by night with my servants, and strike for them a dry path through the sea. You will not fear being overtaken by Pharaoh, nor be afraid of drowning. After having failed at the competition, Pharaoh still did not let the children of Israel go. In fact, he kept refusing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept sending him signs. They kept being affected by natural disasters, which would only be removed when they would come begging to Musa alayhi salam to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, promising that they would let the children of Israel go. But this continued to happen several times and they kept going back on their word. So finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam to travel by night with the children of Israel and go to the edge of the sea and strike the sea with the asa, with the staff that he had. And the sea will open up, there will be a dry path through it. And he told them, you will not fear being overtaken by Pharaoh and you will not be afraid of drowning. So Allah says, so Pharaoh pursued them with his soldiers because they discovered that the Bani Israel were leaving. And they covered them from the sea, that which covered them. What covered them? Not just the water, but what Allah knows, terror, pain, regret. Imagine two mountains of water, one on each side, a dry path through the sea, not a river, through the sea. And people are walking through it. Pharaoh and his army are at the banks, watching all of this. If nothing else, this should have been a moment when the Pharaoh would have believed, when he would have been humbled by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he was drunk with arrogance. Allah tells us that even if you bring down every single miracle that people demand, they will still not believe because their hearts are sealed. They refuse to believe. So Allah says, and Pharaoh led his people astray and did not guide them. So Pharaoh will bear the burden of all of his people because he was responsible for them. O children of Israel, Allah says, we delivered you from your enemy and we made an appointment with you at the right side of the mount and we sent down to you manna and quails. Allah had made an appointment with the children of Israel through Musa alayhi salam that he would meet him at the top of the Mount Tur and he would give him guidance in the form of Torah. So Allah reminds the Bani Israel of all of these amazing favors and says that we made an appointment with you at the right side of the mount and we sent down to you manna and quails, ready-made food at that time, saying, eat from the good things with which we have provided you and do not transgress or oppress others therein, lest my anger should descend upon you. And he upon whom my anger descends has certainly fallen. Allah uses the word ghadab. Allah says, وَمَنْ يَحْلِلْ عَلَيْهِ غَضَبِي فَقَدْ هَوَى. هَوَى. هَوَى means to completely fall down and perish and disperse, scattered by the wind. As if this person is of no importance whatsoever. Allah says, when people earn his anger, their end is like that, scattered, ashes, as if they were nothing. May Allah protect us from his anger. We seek refuge in Allah's mercy from his anger. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah also says next, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ. But indeed, I am the perpetual forgiver. Ghaffar is a superlative form of Ghafoor. Ghafoor is extremely forgiving. Ghaffar is even more intense than that. وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى. But there's a condition. Allah says, I am the perpetual forgiver for whoever, number one, repents and then believes and does righteousness and then continues in guidance. Four things. A person has to turn back. Taba means to turn back. Turn back to Allah. وَآمَنَ and then believe, meaning that I now need to worship Allah as is my duty. So Allah says he believes and does righteousness. Then this person actively tries to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the fourth one, he continues in guidance. How do you continue in guidance? You learn about your religion. You learn, what else do I have to do? The Sahaba were very curious. They would continuously come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, can you tell us about this? How do we do this? Allah quotes them in the Quran multiple times in Surah Al-Baqarah. Yas'alunaka an this, yas'alunaka an that. So different things. They ask you about this, they ask you about that. They would always come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, what deed does Allah love most? What does He love after that? What does He love after that? They would also say, what deed does Allah detest the most? What angers Him the most? Subhanallah, they would read the Quran, they would try to understand the Quran. But we are complacent, we don't want to learn. We know everything. It's as if we were born with this knowledge that was ingrained in our genetics. We came out of our mother's wombs knowing Islam. We are so complacent. Are we complacent about worldly things like this? For dunya? Are we happy that, you know, I know very little, but this is enough? No, my children will only go to elementary school. No, they will simply pass high school and this is enough for them. I don't want to know anymore. Let's just learn how to read and write and, you know, kind of do some math and that should be enough for us. We never do that with our dunya. Why? Because we love the dunya. We want the best in this dunya. We want the best praise in this dunya, the best position in this dunya. For that, we are ready to do anything. We will take out loans, we will give riba, we will do anything. But we want to succeed in this dunya. But does Allah not deserve even a little bit of that love, even a little bit of that attention? Allah deserves everything. It is Allah who deserves our love. It is Allah who deserves our attention. Allah has told us that He has not created us. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have not been created for any other purpose. Remember this. Other than to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, jinn and mankind. We do everything else well except wanting to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala well. There is no way. Let me say this again. It is impossible for a person to learn how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly without reading and understanding the very guidance that was sent for this purpose. The Quran was sent for this very purpose. But Allah does not force guidance upon anyone. He has given us the freedom of choice. He reminds us multiple times through giving us good, testing us by taking it away, reminding us over and over again. He doesn't have to do that. Allah has already sent the Quran. It could have been shut down in some books, with other books, on some shelf that gathered dust. But Allah brings Ramadan every year for us to remind us. Allah sends friends, relatives, family members who remind us, read the Quran. This is the month of the Quran. Understand the Quran. Find out what is He saying. How is it that we know that Allah is speaking to us and we shut the book? Do we turn off the phone when our loved ones text us? When we are waiting for them to call us, do we turn off the phone? Do we delete the email and we don't want to read it? It is a reflection on how we feel about Allah. Allah always loves us. It is we who do not value Him. And for this, there are no words to seek His forgiveness. But Allah says, but indeed, I am the perpetual forgiver of whoever repents and believes and does righteousness and then continues in guidance, learns more so that she can be better. Allah said, and what made you hasten from your people, O Moses? So Musa alayhi salam left the Bani Israel in the valley and went up Mount Sinai to receive the Torah and to speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he hurried before the appointed time. So Allah asked him, وَمَا عَجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Allah says, and what made you hasten from your people, O Moses? He said, they are close upon my tracks, and I hasten to you, my Lord, that you may be pleased. Allah said, "But indeed we have tried your people after you departed, and the Samiri has led them astray." The Samiri, translated as the Samaritan, was a hypocrite among them, who led the children of Israel into idol worship. Allah, in His wisdom, had set an appointed time to meet Musa alayhi salam, because Musa alayhi salam was needed to settle down his people, to train his people, to give them instructions. But Musa alayhi salam, in his eagerness and his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hurried up, leaving Harun alayhi salam in charge behind him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tried the people. This was their first trial. After multiple miracles and all these favors of Allah, they were tried. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them that something has happened and they have been astray. So Moses returned to his people angry and grieved. He was enraged. He said, "O my people, did your Lord not make you a good promise that he would send down the Torah containing guidance for you? Why could you not wait?" Musa alayhi salam then said, "Then was the time of its fulfillment too long for you? Or did you wish that wrath from your Lord should descend upon you, so you broke your promise of obedience to me?" They said, "We did not break our promise to you by our will, but we were made to carry burdens from the ornaments of the people of Pharaoh. So we threw them into the fire, and thus did the Samiri throw." So this fast-speaking person started talking to the Bani Israel. Perhaps he saw this as an opportunity to gain some power. So he told the people to take all of the money, the wealth, the jewels that they had with them, the ornaments of the people of Pharaoh, and he told them to throw them into the fire, to melt them, and then he extracted a calf for them. So Allah says, "And he extracted for them the statue of a calf, which had a lowing sound. And they said, 'This is your God and the God of Moses.' But he forgot." Meaning that Musa alayhi salam actually just forgot, "This is your real God," because they were tired of waiting, and also because they had forgotten the concept of an unseen God. Did they not see that it could not return to them any speech, and that it did not possess for them any harm or benefit? Look at what Allah had done for them. Allah had benefited them. Allah had saved them. Allah had blessed them with so many miracles. Allah had prevented harm from them. And Allah had placed Himself between Pharaoh and the Bani Israel and protected them. So Allah was asking a simple question. Could they not see how ludicrous it was that they should worship the statue of a calf they had made with their own hands? And Aaron had already told them before the return of Moses, "O my people, you are only being tested by it. And indeed your Lord is the most merciful, so follow me and obey my order." Harun alayhi salam tried to restore some order and pleaded to them. They said, "We will never cease being devoted to it, the calf, until Moses returns to us." Moses said, "O Aaron, what prevented you when you saw them going astray from following me? Then have you disobeyed my order?" He thought that Harun alayhi salam had not done enough to stop the people. Harun alayhi salam said, "O son of my mother, do not seize me by my beard or by my head." Musa alayhi salam was very angry and he took hold of his brother. So he said to him, Harun alayhi salam said, "O son of my mother," hoping that it would soften his heart, "do not seize me by my beard or by my head. Indeed, I feared that you would say, 'You caused division among the children of Israel, and you did not observe or await my word.'" Moses said, "And what is your case, O Samiri?" He said, "I saw what they did not see. So I took a handful of dust from the track of the messenger. It was a hoof print in the sand left by Angel Jibreel's horse." So he saw it and said, "So I took a handful of dust from the track of the messenger and threw it, and thus did my soul entice me." He threw that dust into the fire upon the melted ornaments in order to form the calf. He understood that this was something unusual. And he admits then at the same time, "Sawwalat li nafsi," "and thus did my soul entice me." Moses said, "Then go. And indeed it is decreed for you in this life to say, no contact, meaning do not touch me. As chastisement for his sin, he was to be completely shunned by all people. And Musa alayhi salam said, and indeed you have an appointment in the hereafter you will not fail to keep. And look at your so-called God to which you remained devoted. We will surely burn it and blow it into ashes, into the sea with a blast. Your God is only Allah. Except for Him, there is no deity. He has encompassed all things in knowledge. Thus, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we relate to you from the news of what has preceded, and we have certainly given you from us a message, meaning the Quran. Whoever turns away from it, then indeed he will bear on the day of resurrection a burden, abiding eternally therein, and evil it is for them on the day of resurrection as a load. The day the horn will be blown, and we will gather the criminals that day blue-eyed. They will be blue-eyed, why? From terror, or they will be blinded completely. Subhanallah. Allah says they will murmur among themselves. You remained not but 10 days in the world. Their eyes will be glassy-eyed from terror, and it will be as if they had suddenly woken up for the first time. They will be shocked, and they will whisper amongst each other, what has happened? This is the day people used to speak about, because they were not expecting it. Allah says, we are most knowing of what they say, when the best of them in manner, meaning wisdom or speech, will say, you remained not but 1 day. Allah gives us a comparison here. Allah says, some people on that day will say, we remained on earth for 10 days. But the more knowledgeable of people will say, it was not even 1 day. When we look at our past life, we feel as if all of those years have passed by swiftly, very quickly. But on that day, the day of standing, which will be as long as 50,000 years, and after that, Jannah or hellfire for eternity, this life on earth is going to be like a day or less than a day. That's how it will feel. And why is Allah telling us that? So we make wise choices. We don't put all our eggs in one basket, so to speak. Don't just concentrate and spend your energies on this dunya. It's going to last for a very short time. It's not even an overnight trip. Subhanallah, just a day or less than a day. Allah says, and they ask you about the mountains, because the Sahaba would say, what will happen to the mountains when there's a blast? So say, my Lord will blow them away with a blast. Once they have been reduced to dust, they will be blown away. And He will leave it, meaning earth, a level plain, Allah says. You will not see therein a depression or an elevation. That day they, everyone, will follow the call of the caller. Who is the caller? There will be a sound, gathering people for judgment. Allah says that day, they will follow the call of the caller with no deviation therefrom. On that day, everybody will walk a straight path to where they are being told to go. No deviation, like people deviated in this world. And all voices will be stilled before the Most Merciful. So you will not hear except a faint sound of footsteps. Billions and billions of people, fearful, terrorized, amazed, naked. And then the believers, billions and billions of people, and nobody will be speaking. Allah says their voices will be stilled, and nobody would be able to hear a single sound, just a faint sound of some shuffling of feet as people stand. Waiting, waiting, waiting. يَوْمَ إِذِ اللَّا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَانُ وَرَضِيَ لَهُ قَوْلًا. That day, no intercession will benefit except that of one to whom the Most Merciful has given permission and has accepted His word. He, Allah, knows what is presently before them and what will be after them. but they do not encompass it in knowledge. What they have done in the past and where they are going on that day forward. Allah says, and all faces will be humbled before the ever-living, the sustainer of existence, and he will have failed who carries injustice. Any sin or wrongdoing towards Allah or any of his creation, Allah says. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي السُّورِ, the day the trumpet will be blown. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how can I be comfortable when the one with the horn is holding it in his lips and his forehead is leaning forward, waiting to be given permission to blow it? The people said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what should we say? Say, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, alallahi tawakkalna. Meaning, if someone hears the horn and you feel fear for the horn, say, Allah is sufficient for us, and what a good protector He is. Upon Allah we place our trust. So Allah will command the angel, Israfil alayhi salam, to blow the trumpet. So he will give a mighty blast, which will terrify all creatures, as a result of which they will swoon and die. They will stay like that for as long as Allah decrees, which is described as 40, without specifying whether it is years, months or days, only Allah knows. Their bodies will decay within this period until there is nothing left but the bone from the base of the coccyx, which is a round bone at the base of the spine. Then Allah will send a cloud that will release rain. And when the water reaches this bone, the body will grow from it like a plant grows, and they will be recreated from this bone. This was the same way Allah created the first time, for He is able to do all things. Then He, the angel, will blow the trumpet to signal the resurrection, and the souls will return to their bodies and will come forth from their graves. And they will hasten to the place of gathering in response to the caller, as Allah says. The day of judgment will not begin until the people will find Adam alayhi salam and go to him and ask him to speak to Allah. He will say, Nafsi, Nafsi, myself, myself. I have committed a sin. Go find someone else. He had committed one sin, one mistake. Subhanallah, he ate from the tree. So the people will go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then Nuh alayhi salam, and all of them will say, Nafsi, Nafsi, myself, myself, I have not seen Allah as angry as He is today. And they will all think of themselves. Finally, the people will go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is reported in the two Sahihs that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I will come under the throne and I will fall down into prostration. Then I will be inspired to make praises of Allah that I am not able to recall them now. Allah will leave me in this condition as long as He wishes, in sajda. Then He will say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, raise your head, speak, and you will be heard. Intercede, and your intercession will be accepted. Then a designated group will be allowed for me to intercede on their behalf. Allah will then enter them into paradise, and I will return to repeat the process again. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned doing this 4 times. And this intercession will be for believers, for Muslims only. How do we know that? In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah the Exalted will say, bring out of the fire whoever has a seed's weight of faith in his heart. So a large number of people will be brought out. Then He will say, bring out of the fire whoever has a half of a seed's weight of faith in his heart. Bring out whoever has the weight of a speck of dust in his heart. That much iman, only that much. Bring out whoever has the weight of the smallest and tiniest particle of dust of iman in his heart. And the hadith continues. So disobedient Muslims will go into hellfire to pay for their sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from hellfire altogether. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. For the disbelievers, they will cry, O Malik, the guardian angel of hellfire. They will say, O Malik, let your Lord make an end of us. Let him kill us. He will say, surely you shall abide forever. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal recorded, Abu Sayyid al-Khudri said, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the Muslims who will be in hellfire, the dwellers of hellfire, who are those who deserve it, they will not die in it, nor will they be living. Rather, they will be a people who will be punished by the fire due to their sins. It will be gradually killing them and devouring them until they become burnt coals. Then intercession will be allowed, and they will be brought out of hell group by group, and they will spread on the rivers of paradise. It will be said, O people of Jannah, pour water over them. Then they will start to grow like the growing of a seed on the muddy banks of a flowing river. And then we are told that these people will be placed into Jannah. Allah says in Surah Taha, Ayah number 112, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَا يَخَافُ ظُلْمًا وَلَا خَضْمًا. But he who does of righteous deeds while he is a believer, he will neither fear injustice nor deprivation. And thus we have sent it down as an Arabic Qur'an. Why an Arabic Qur'an? Because this was proof that the Prophet ﷺ did not make it up. He could not make it up because he did not know how to read and write, even though Arabic was his first language. He could speak it, but he was not known to write or to construct something so amazing and so beautiful. Allah says, and Allah has diversified therein the warnings that perhaps they will avoid sin, or it would cause them remembrance. This is what the Quran is for. It is for remembrance, and it is also for knowledge. It's a criterion to judge between what is right and what is wrong. So high above all is Allah, the Sovereign, the Truth. And O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not hasten with the recitation of the Quran before its revelation is completed to you, and say, Rabbi zidni ilma, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would hastily try to repeat the verses of the Quran when Jibril alaihi salam would come to him with new revelation, because he was afraid he was going to forget it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah is going to preserve the Quran in his memory. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. Allah then says, and we had already taken a promise from Adam before, but he forgot, and we found not in him determination. And mention when we said to the angels, prostrate to Adam, and they prostrated except Iblis, he refused. So Allah says that Adam alayhi salam did not have a lot of determination. And why does he mention that? Because it was not just Adam alayhi salam. That means human beings do not have a lot of determination. We fall prey to sin. We fall prey to desires. We fall prey to influence. Yet, when Adam alayhi salam was created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated him in rank and taught him the names of things which he had not taught the angels or anyone else. So he told everyone up in the heavens to do sajda to Adam alayhi salam out of respect. Because this was a command of Allah, obviously it was acceptable. So Allah says they all prostrated except Iblis. Iblis was the jinn who had driven up the rank, who had risen up to the rank of the leader of the angels because of his immense amount of worship. So Iblis refused. Allah says, so we said, O Adam, indeed this is an enemy to you and to your wife. Then let him not remove you from paradise, so you would suffer. So Allah instructed Adam and Hawa alayhi salam. And note that Allah speaks to Adam alayhi salam about this. It is the man's job to give education to the wife, to the children about deen. It is the man's job to protect the children and the family from error. It does not mean that women are absolved. We, each one of us, has to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. We are only responsible for our deeds, but as a family, as a leader of the family, the guardian of women, the man is supposed to instruct his family. So Allah says, indeed it is promised for you not to be hungry therein in Jannah or be unclothed, and indeed you will not be thirsty therein or be hot from the sun. Then Satan whispered to him. He said, O Adam, shall I direct you to the tree of eternity and possession that will not deteriorate? He inspired him, made it sound very attractive, very interesting. Note, obviously he does not say that this is a sin, but he says this is an amazing thing. It's a tree of eternity. It sounds wondrous. Who would not want to see the tree of eternity? And then he says, you will have possession that will not deteriorate. What was that possession? They had everything else in Jannah. They knew that they were not going to live forever. So remember, Allah tells us in the Quran that Satan whispered to them that you will become angels and you will live forever if you eat from that tree. Allah then says, and they, Adam and his wife, ate of it, the forbidden tree, that one tree, and their private parts became apparent to them, and they began to fasten over themselves from the leaves of paradise. And Adam disobeyed his Lord and erred. In Surah Al-Isra, Allah says, وَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ Shaitan made both of them slip. But here Allah says, Adam disobeyed his Lord. Why? Because the instruction was given to Adam alayhi salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that everyone is a guardian over something else. And each one of us who is a guardian is going to be questioned about what was under our charge. But then Allah says, then his Lord chose him and turned to him in forgiveness and guided him. Allah said, descend from it, Jannah, all your descendants being enemies to one another. And if there should come to you guidance from me, then whoever follows my guidance will neither go astray in the world nor suffer in the hereafter. Meaning this person will not fall into misery in both worlds. This dunya will be a place of peace and tranquility, and akhirah will be a place of great joy. Yet again, how can we follow a guidance that we have not read and we have not understood? Allah then says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي And whoever turns away from my remembrance, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ Indeed, he will have a depressed, difficult, constricted life. Donka means hard and narrow. Allah says, whoever turns away from my remembrance, indeed he will have a difficult, hard, narrow life, and we will gather him on the day of resurrection blind. He will say, my Lord, why have you raised me blind? While I was once seeing, I could see in this dunya. Allah will say, thus did our signs come to you, and you forgot. You disregarded them, and thus will you this day be forgotten. Blindness is not physical blindness. Seeing is not physical seeing. Allah wants us to see with our hearts. Allah wants us to see with our brains. Allah wants us to see with our soul. A person who does not do that, in essence, is blind. They forget Allah, so Allah says, today you will be forgotten. We seek refuge in Allah from being of those people. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. What is Ma'ishatan Danka? Hard, narrow, constricted life. We think that we look at people and we think that people who don't believe in Allah, they are atheists or just, you know, criminals, they're fasiqeen. They disobey Allah night and day, but they have wealth. They have money. They're enjoying themselves. But are they really? Do we not know of popular, famous people who have taken their own lives out of sheer depression despite the fact that they had everything? They have fallen into drug abuse, alcoholism. They have started taking pills and even prescription medication shots because they can't sleep at all. They're constantly worrying about their faces because they see wrinkles coming on their faces. Their hair starts thinning out. They start gaining weight. And they're worried because their fame will be taken away. They're worried because of infidelity of their partners. Their worries are very strong and very distinct, but very different from the worries of a believer. The believer is calm about this dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir." Dunya is a prison of a believer and the Jannah of a kafir. This constricted life, this difficult life full of worries, this is Jannah for them. This is Jannah for them as compared to what will come in the hereafter for them. And for a believer, why is this dunya a prison? because we have to hold ourselves in check. We have to be patient. And we are waiting to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not enamored by this world and the fame and the wealth and the glamour of this world. But we wait for the hereafter, for Jannah, for paradise, for the opportunity to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day when we will see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The day when we will be given water to drink from his house. The day we will see Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Khadija radiallahu anha, Aisha radiallahu anha. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ameen ya rabbal alameen. That is what we are waiting for. Allah says, whoever turns away from my remembrance, their life is very hard. Things are not easy for them. They try to do something, it doesn't work out. They're always failing, always feeling difficulty in one task, one after the other. Things never go smoothly for them. A believer though, things go smoothly for them. Remember in Suratul Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the story of Al-Khidr, how he protects the believers and their families, how he makes things easy for them. So remember, when things are getting hard, it is perhaps that we have forgotten Allah, that we are not remembering Him enough, that we have not asked for His forgiveness from some sin and He is upset with us. May Allah forgive us entirely this month. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. On top of that, on the Day of Judgment, this person will be resurrected blind. Allah says, and thus do we recompense he who transgressed and did not believe in the signs of his Lord, and the punishment of the hereafter is more severe and more lasting. Then, has it not become clear to them how many generations we destroyed before them as they walk among their dwellings? Indeed, in that are signs for those of intelligence. And if not for a word that proceeded from your Lord, meaning Allah's plan as it was written down, Allah says, it, the punishment, would have been an obligation due immediately, and if not for a specified term decreed. The punishment would have come immediately, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed a date and a time for that. So be patient over what they say, and exalt Allah with praise of your Lord before the rising of the sun and before its setting, and during periods of the night exalt Him, and at the ends of the day, that you may be satisfied. لَعَلَّكَ تَرْضَى. So how do we satisfy our souls in face of difficulty and adversity? Salah. Turn to Allah. Whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have a problem, he would feel anxiety, he would run to Salah and say to Nafil. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the 5 daily prayers. Those are enough for us if we truly say them with concentration, with khushu', with khudu', and with understanding. Allah says, and do not extend your eyes toward that by which we have given enjoyment to some categories of them, meaning disbelievers. It's being but the splendor of worldly life by which we test them. And the provision of your Lord is better and more lasting. So turn away from all of this adversity and all of this opposition. Concentrate on your salah and do not get distracted by worldly ornaments. Allah says, and enjoin prayer upon your family and people, and be steadfast therein. We ask you not for provision, we provide for you, and the best outcome is for those of righteousness. Allah says again, وَأَمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا, and be steadfast upon salah. Tell your family members to pray salah. Remind them over and over again. Allah says, He does not want any provision from us. Allah doesn't need provision. But this is good for us. Salah will benefit us. It will elevate us spiritually. And it will give us strength. And they say, why does He not bring us a sign from His Lord? Has there not come to them evidence of what was in the former scriptures? So Allah is saying, is not the Quran an adequate proof of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prophethood and sufficient as a lasting miracle? And then He says, and if we had destroyed them with a punishment before Him, meaning either before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or before the Quran came down, they would have said, our Lord, why did you not send to us a messenger so we could have followed your verses, your teachings, before we were humiliated and disgraced? So we learn that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also sent to complete the hujjah, the excuse, so that nobody on earth could ever say that they had not been sent a prophet. In the last ayah, Allah says, say, each of us is waiting, so wait, for you will know who are the companions of the sound path and who is guided. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people who are on the right path and those who are guided. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.